from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to Postcard from Poprad, on a week where we make history in radio. Hopefully a lot of other stations will join us, revolutionising the way that we listen to radio today. Turn your smartphone into a transistor radio from the 60s, as Lee put it. I'll come forward a few decades and go with the Walkman. But we're here. If you want to find out how to get the app that we were talking about, the first one out, because we are the first, you can go to www.rti.fm. On the right-hand side of the page, you can see links to both the PC and tablet app for your Windows 8 device or your phone Windows 8 device, and you can just get them from there. Add it for free, even more important, add it for free, and then you can listen to us walking down the road. And in fact, I can drive around Slovakia listening to Postcard from Poprad on RTI without even having the radio on. Isn't that amazing? The old one. And funnily enough, this week there was an article or a piece of research, sorry, that came out from America saying that in 4 years' time, 170 million cars will be connected to the internet. And we're here today. Barclays cyber theft. 8 arrests after £1.3 million stolen. Yikes. The money was stolen from Barclays branch in Swiss Cottage. I know that.
I know Swiss Cottage too.
It's very pretty, isn't it?
It is, actually. It is. And a very good friend of mine, Katrina, lives there. Out of Katrina and the Waves.
I knew you were going to name drop her again.
And you can't say drop. Yes, anyway. Yes, no, I agree with you. Yeah, lovely place. But what amazes me about this story is how simple it was for the criminals to pull it off, if you forgive the phraseology.
Yeah, well, let me give you a top tip.
Go on, man.
And I said that very carefully.
You did.
It's worthwhile. Even on a regular cash point machine, one of the tricks that the fraudsters do is they have a dummy front that goes over where your card goes in. Now, before putting your card in, just pull the plastic bit. If it don't come away in your hands, it's probably good. Don't pull it too hard and break it. But, you know, what they do is they slide one over. Now, if something slides off in your hands, don't use that cash machine.
Can I give a top tip on that as well?
Don't use, and especially ones that are in the middle of nowhere. Because that's where they target first. Go on, Lee.
Well, something very similar happened to us, actually, out here in Valencia. We went to one of those machines, what you put your card in, and Andrew was just about to put it in, and I saw a nodule on the top of the, on the side of the machine, which actually the card, as it went in, had to slide across. And it had a raised bit which dragged itself right down the strip.
Right.
So we refused to do it and reported it. And it was a con.
No.
Yeah.
Good man.
It was just, it was like a little reading thing.
That's right.
Which the police said would actually then telegraph your details to somebody sitting on a computer and they would have them immediately. That is scary.
I know. I know. What people will go to is unbelievable, the links they'll go. Anyway, I love this next story. I love this next story because a homeless guy, penniless, out of work, no house, living on the street.
All done that.
no, but yours is normally self-induced. he found a bag, and in this bag was roughly £27,000. £25,000, sorry. And also somebody's passport. It's a Chinese fella. And rather than just, can you imagine? £25,000. I'm penniless. I'm broke. I've got no house. I've got nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a huge amount of money in this bag and somebody's passport. This guy is so God-fearing that he went to the police and handed it in. And this young man, and I'm not being rude to this guy, you can tell he's got no money, he's got missing teeth, you know, you can see he is hard up. And he handed it into the police, the original owner was reconnected with his bag, and everything's marvellous. But one young man was so taken by this story, he started a charity fundraising exercise in America to get this man sorted out. Already, it's raised £69,000.
Do you know what bothers me about this story, though? I'm not decrying it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. But the story doesn't say what this bloke's done with the £69,000 that has been raised for him. They given it him? Has he bought a house? Has he moved into a hotel?
No, he's been organised with some temporary accommodation so far. He's being organised properly. In other words, they're not just sort of, there's your money. They're organising him and getting him back into normal lifestyle situations rather than just giving money. And it's what I say when you, if you go to places where you see, sometimes I've been in London in the past and you see young people begging. And my answer to that is, look, tell you what, I'm not giving you any money. If you want to come over to McDonald's with me, I'll buy you a full meal. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the answer is, but what they're doing with this guy is, the money's been raised on a crowdfunding site, which is very common these days. But what they are doing is getting the guy back into society properly rather than just throwing money at it, because that won't really help anyway. It's like,
Do we know he wants to get back into society properly?
I suspect he does. But he did actually say, even if I was desperate for the money, I would not have kept it.
I think that's it. He's a good egg. He really is a good egg. He's an honest man, and there's not many of those about.
Well, and he added at the end of it that I am extremely religious. God has always very well looked after me. That's his words, not mine. And, you know, I respect him for that. So good luck to him. I hope, sir, that you get back on your feet again. And I think there should be more Mr. Jameses around the world, because it'd be a much better place. Much better place.
There is still this nagging thing here on this story, though. Because where he says, God's always looked after me very well. I think that's what he meant to say, but he didn't say it in that way.
No.
But if he believes that actually God has looked after him, then he believes that his life has been fine. And now, because of this honest gesture that he's made, society is trying to reform him into something that society sees as respectable, which automatically means that they don't see him as respectable. I see him as probably more respectable than many of our politicians.
Well, one could argue that quite easily, but there you go. We move on. British scientists believe they found some small bugs. And my headline for this one, boys and girls, is, oh, good grief. The conspiracy loons will be out any second now. Why? Because the group of scientists from University of Sheffield sent one of these balloons that goes up into the Earth's atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought it down, it had some bugs on it.
Yeah.
And now everybody's going to say it's an alien.
Well, they're not saying that it's an alien.
They
are. There aren't any life forms on this Earth, as we all know.
Well, I'm a Martian.
And I'm from another world.
Yeah, exactly.
But what they're saying is that those bugs could not have actually got into space, could not have got to where this balloon went.
Right.
The only way it could have happened was if what they call a volcano had exploded, and it had been the biggest explosion in decades that we've ever seen, and we would have noticed it happening, and that was the only way that they could fire these bugs into the stratosphere, where they then came down. So by process of elimination and probability, which is what all science is based on, science is only based on probability, they're saying it is probable that these bugs actually existed in outer space. And that means, if it's true, that there is life beyond this world, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, but that's old news.
What's old news?
Well, they found skeletoid bits on planets, other planets, where they sent unmanned probes to already. So that's not in...
What? We did not found any skeletons.
Skeletoids.
What's a skeletoid?
A little skeleton from
a
water.
Skeleton.
Yeah. They found some on Mars, I'm very much sure. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong, but seriously, the Mars probe saw some skeleton-type things from where there used to be water on there. But this is not my point. My main point is this, Lee. Nobody was around when everything went bang and the Earth was formed. So yeah, when
that, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory.
Right. So let's just play with that theory for a minute. So you have a Big Bang, right? Earth is forming.
We've all known.
Yeah. Shut up. And at the same time, there's a Big Bang going on around the rest of the outside of the Earth that we won't have known about. So yeah, there's no.
That isn't the way it happened. That isn't the way it happened.
How do we know?
Well, again, it's all based on science. You see, people say that science, you can't believe in God because science proves that there isn't. There is a probability that there is a God. There is also a probability that science is right, but neither can be proved.
Thank you.
The Big Bang Theory is that a minuscule, microscopic bit of matter suddenly expanded so quickly, it was unbelievable. Mm. And that is what spread the universe. And the reason we believe this is because the universe is still flying away for us at billions and billions of miles an hour. The universe is expanding continuously.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's expanding exponentially, right? and it's going. So we do know that there is the possibility of life on other planets.
Right.
Because why would ours just be it? There was never any water on Mars. There are sort of strata of things that look like there might have been at some stage.
Yes.
There was frozen frozen carbon or something on Mars. Mm. And there was an indication that there might be life there. Well, all this does is move that on another step to proving we're getting a bit closer to the probability of life in the universe.
So with all these weather balloons that are sent up into the atmosphere all the time, why has nobody seen them before?
Well, I can't answer that one.
There you go, you see.
That doesn't mean you've won the argument, it's just I don't know.
But they say strict tests were taken to avoid any contamination. But they could have done it already. What's the point? I mean, look, Lee could have come down on a balloon. Lee could have come down on a balloon, got to Earth and grew to the massive stature that he is now. And that's why he's here. He's an alien.
That's right. I am an alien. At least I don't look like a space monster.
No, that's true. Anyway.
What they could prove is, you see, what they will do always, they will probably treat these balloons so that they do not bring down contaminants, because they don't know what's up there. So they're treated in such a way, but somehow these things have got through. And do you notice one looked like a little jacket?
Yeah, but you needed
with
something.
Buttons up the front.
What's it, 10,000 times smaller than the naked eye can see or something? This little bug.
How did you find it?
With a microscope.
What, they went out and had a look at the balloon with a microscope?
Yeah. They brought the balloon in and looked at it under a microscope. That's what they did.
Why would they do that?
Because it makes a good PR story.
No, you see, because they must do that all the time to check for contaminants, and all of a sudden they found this.
Oh, there you go then. All right then, okay. But I bet you any money you like, the conspiracy theorists will be out in days jumping on the bandwagon. Apple's double whammy this week because so many people struggled to download the new operating system for Apple. Like I care, and the comments that were seen on Twitter about this was bye bye battery, ha ha. I'm seeing serious battery drain, and this has got me sort of thinking. I'm thinking, do you know what? Take your mind back years, Lee, in media and print, and it's fair to say that donkeys years ago, the old iMac or, you know, the Apple products were the beloved thing of designers and graphic-y people.
Of course they were, yeah. Yep. That's it. I started on Macs.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Windows or the PC caught up with Apple.
It took a few years.
It took quite a few years. So then you get onto the next bit where you had the iPod came out, which was seriously trashed quickly by MP3 players. The iPad came out, and it took a while for tablets to catch up with it, but they've done it very, very quickly. And for the first couple of years, the Apple phones, they had quite a good run. Now, all of a sudden, you've got bigger, better and faster phones coming out into the marketplace and actually, you know, hammering what Apple are doing. And I think that's quite sort of poignant, to the point where, you know, in Beijing, there was 100 people queuing up to get their pre-ordered phones.
No, I think that amazed me. What a terrible thing to have to brag about. There were 100 people waiting for your new phone. Honestly, that's terrible, isn't it?
And equally, the, you know, the download time of 2 hours to get an upgrade, whereas actually I was sitting in my phone upgraded when I was sitting in the taverna in Cyprus, and I suddenly looked at it. I said to Martin, "Oh, I've got an upgrade on my phone." I didn't notice because I was just connected to the Wi-Fi. I thought, "Well, I'll best do it then." When I did it, I've looked at it and I've gone, "Oh." When the new version 4 comes out with the high speed internet, I've got it on my phone. Wasn't there before.
Well, some people are saying it was taking them 9 hours to download the program.
I think mine took me about a pint of Guinness.
God.
Anyway,
is this spelling the end?
I'm not saying it's spelling the end for Apple, but I am saying that Apple haven't got a clear run anymore. And funnily enough, there was a piece written by Forbes, and we all know Forbes as being the people that look into shares and all sorts of stuff and they got in touch with a Jose Rodriguez, a 36-year-old soldier from the Canary Islands, who claims he's found a security problem with iOS 7, which allows people to bypass its lock screen in seconds, which gives them access to photos, emails, Twitters, and more. And he's actually made a video of it.
Well, the thing is,
gee whiz.
I've read this, and at first I didn't understand it. And I'll have to explain that Eric explained it to me, graphically explained it to
using,
me.
We use Skype to do it.
We use Skype to do it, and he showed me how to do it.
Yeah.
And really, if that is what you do, which I saw it happen, I saw it work, then there is no security at all.
No, it's scary. It's actually scary. And I just wonder, I don't know, I just wonder if it's not the case that there's more and more and more competition in the phone market. And effectively what's happening is there could be a little bit of a rush to get this new stuff out with the iPhone. And maybe they should have took a little bit longer, but we don't know.
Well, why? You know, but it's so easy and so simple. And once everybody knows, like people are going to chase it up, we might not be going to tell people how to do it.
No.
But it's easy enough from here to find out how it's done.
Of course it is. I've only got to just Google it.
That's it. So there's no security. Surely Apple should be ashamed of themselves for being so ludicrous and allowing this to happen.
Funny that. Anyway, let's move along. I confess to not being... I have an iPhone, actually. It no longer works. It's an iPhone 1. And when Apple turned it off, they killed all my apps as well, which doesn't make me very... It's a nice doorstop. but I can't think of anything else to do. Well, it did hold some papers down the other day. It was heavy enough for that. A smoking ban is being considered for prison inmates in the UK, which astonishes me for two reasons. One of which, around 80% of prisoners in England and Wales are believed to be smokers. And secondly, I mean, I know you're locked up, but this is a public place in terms of, you know, a building, an office. So how come they can smoke and people can't smoke in offices?
Well, I think you're quite right. And I'm no defender of criminals. But if in fact they are allowed to smoke in Her Majesty's prison, the confines of Her Majesty's prison, within a cell or within a cell block, then they're breaking the law.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, they should be banned. And also, I remember, I can't understand this, because I remember in the days that I visited prison, not as a recidivist, but as a journalist.
Yeah, right.
There was a smoking yard. Yeah. Oh, that 20 years ago, there was a smoking yard outside, which is exactly what you have to do if you're going to smoke. If you're in a pub in the UK, you go and stand out in the yard. So I can't see all the fuss about this. Stop them smoking in the cells.
They've got a smoking lounge in the Cyprus airport in Paphos. It's wonderful.
Well, actually, you know what? They've got one in Alicante as well.
Very, very sensible.
I think it is. I think it is.
And it's, we've rescinded that remark because you shouldn't smoke. Absolutely.
No, you shouldn't smoke. It's despicable.
Yes.
But I think it's also one of the most ludicrous things about the smoking ban in Britain is that now the streets are just littered with cigarette butts. And actually, if you walk past a pub, you don't get this heady aroma of hops and beer. All you get is the stink of smoke.
Funny that. Good old Queen Elizabeth is doing her bit for the beautiful game, football, which is celebrating 150 years ago, 150 years ago, the FA was formed. So what the Queen's doing is she's having a football...
I'm not explaining what FA means.
Football Association. Now... I find this funny. 100, I repeat this, 150 years ago, there was the football thingy in England.
Yeah.
Now, on the 21st of May 1904, which, unless my calculus is wrong, is not 150 years ago, the Fédération Internationale de Football Association, now known as FIFA, was founded in Paris.
That's right.
And the boss of football around the world is a gentleman called Sepp Blatter, who's always seeming to get into hot water. In fact, he's always in a hot platter. All right. So, the beautiful game, a.k.a. 150 years ago, is now controlled by a Swiss chap from an organisation based in Paris, which isn't 150 years old. Which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, it doesn't make any sense to me either, but I don't really care because it involves football.
Oh.
Football is boring. And historically, football comes about not 150 years ago, but 1,000 years ago.
All right. Okay, here comes the theory.
No, it is true. It is true. It was when the Norsemen invaded the British Isles and somebody chopped off an oarsman's head and started kicking it around. An Anglo-Saxon was kicking some poor old Norseman's head around and they turned it into it. They kept kicking it to each other and then somebody kicked it in between two trees and that said, goal!
Oh, right. Okay, right,
and that's
fair
how
enough.
It started.
Anyway, great news this week. Chelsea lost. Tottenham won in European leagues. Perfect. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, has been pictured wandering around the construction of a water park, which to most people you'd go, you're right. But he goes banging on about the complex is being built by our own beliefs, believing in our own strengths. It is our structure which proves once again, when we are determined to do something, there is nothing impossible. Hold on a minute, Kimo. The slides you've got on your water park are so similar to the ones in Aqua City about 500 metres away from me that you could probably kid most people into thinking they were a copy.
You're not saying he's copied them, have you?
I didn't say that, did I?
No, that naughty Kimo wouldn't do that.
Yes. And, of course, they've been told the Workers' Party must have it finished by the founding anniversary on October the 10th. And he's insisting there's good utensils put in the kitchen.
I was going to mention that. And he said that, that they need to have tables and chairs, which will be in harmony with the restaurant.
Oh, my word!
Good old Kimo, eh?
Bless him. I don't know. We talked about Grand Theft Auto earlier. It's lovely to see, really is, lovely to see a British invention going incredibly well. There's been a lot of controversy about Queen's Brian May, who's ditched plans to build a shrine to Sir Patrick Moore. And I'll tell you what, Lee, you do the front end of the story.
Well, it's a funny story, isn't it? Brian May actually bought Patrick Moore's house back in 2008 because, as we all know, Patrick Moore was incredibly old. Mm. And I've actually met him, and he was a lovely, lovely, lovely old man. Mm. But he was incredibly ill, very, very ill, but still carried on doing what he did best, which was broadcasting on astronomy. Mm. And Brian May actually paid over the odds for Patrick Moore's house. He paid £480,000 for it when it was actually worth probably about £440,000. Mm-hmm. And part of the deal was that Patrick Moore, Sir Patrick Moore, as he would wanted there to be an observatory in his back garden.
Right.
And it was a sort of mark of respect to somebody who really was, as we were talking about Elgar and people like that earlier on, he was an icon of British, an institution within British society in the history of Britain. Yeah. He and also was very good at what he did, which was presenting television and radio programmes and writing books. And anyway, it turns out that Mr. May, he of the long grey hair, mm-hmm, and that strangely famous band Queen, mm-hmm, is not going to be able to do what he intended to do. And I didn't realise this, and I have to say, it doesn't happen very often, but I hold my hands up to Mr. Wiltshire for finding out why. This was a very good bit of journalism, Mr. Wiltshire.
Blimey, that's a good thing. We'll do this very quickly. Basically, I looked at the story, didn't kind of buy it. Then I went and looked at the house. When I tell you it's a wattle and daub house with thatch cottage, instantly it said to me, this one you'll never get planning permission because it'll be one of those protected type houses, which I know has different terminology around the world, so we'll call it protected because that's easier. Mm. And I just don't think, having checked it out, because of the way things are done, that they would be able to build anything else on there because they'd never get permission. And I want to squeeze one story in the last minute because the celebrity crime family who won $1 million on the Euro jackpot are in trouble again. Because Wiley, you found it. It's brilliant.
Well, it is. It's a family that also, once again, I know, because they are the celebrity crime family of Manchester, my hometown, the Noonan family. And they incredibly, amazingly, they have fantastic, an incredibly criminal lifestyle. But they won the Euro Millions jackpot.
And quickly, Lee, what did they do with it?
They invested it in a crime involving heroin.
Goodness sake. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's the end of Postcard from Pop Breath for another week. Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye.
And just to remind you, if you want to find out more about the radio app, www.theradiomagazine.co.uk. And I can proudly say, for the first time, broadcasting on the internet, on radio, selected radio stations around the world, and now on the Windows 8 platform, PC, tablet and phone. RTI, the radio revolution.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.